head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, back for the 254th consecutive week in a row, bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville. And I have not failed you this week, my friends. I'm very excited to be here and talking to you. I just got a great report from Peggy Heiser, my doctor slash nurse, who is taking me through a health optimization program. And I got my 2-month checkup today, and there's some good news. So I'll expand on that a little bit later in the show. But let me tell you about my guest. My Bourbon City guest of the week this week is somebody you're going to really be interested in. She is Stacy Church, and she is the general manager of the Kentucky International Convention Center, which the day I was over there is 78 days away from opening. And it's a long-anticipated project, and we're very excited about having the convention center opening up. And Stacy, you may not know, she just came here in January. She is a University of Kentucky graduate, originally from Northern Indiana, and has worked in this industry for a while. And she seems like the perfect candidate to run the show over there at the convention center. She'll describe what it's like over there, and I know you've seen the construction. It's quite an impressive looking structure from the outside, and a lot of glass and et cetera on the building. So that is my Bourbon City guest of the week. That's up second in the show. Before I get to my first guest, I want to talk a little bit about my sponsors. Passport Health Plan is a longtime sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show. Happy to have them on board. And we'll tell you a little bit about some of the work I'm doing for Passport in the West End as they prepare for their move to 18th Broadway. The show is also sponsored by my friends at Heiser Health. As I said, I'm doing the health optimization program there, and by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, who bring you the Bourbon City Guest of the Week each and every Rusty Satellite Show. Happy to have them on board. Well, fans of horse racing will be interested in my next guest. He's Clinton Glasscock. He is one of the members of the ownership team that bought into the horse Justify before in, I think he said January, may have been February, before Justify went on to win last week's Kentucky Derby. And this Saturday is the Preakness. And I'm telling you, the odds, it seems like the Derby winner is always a big favorite in the Preakness. But this time, Justify, because he won so impressively in the mud and the slop, and it may rain in Baltimore on Saturday. Justify has been established. I looked up two different sources for the odds for Saturday's Preakness, one from Vegas and another one, I think, with CBS Sports. And today is Wednesday, so this could all change. But one listed Justify's odds at 2-5, and the other was 4-9. So it's going to be an odds-on favorite. It's going to be a really dominant thing. Good Magic is back. That finished second in the Derby, and I think there are six other horses that are in the race. Not many Derby contenders. I know Lone Sailor, who's an also ran, is a long shot in this one. Audible, which interesting, Glasscock's group is also has an ownership interest in Audible, and Clinton told me that Audible is going to skip the Preakness and be back for the Belmont. So we'll be anxious to see. That was my horse for the Derby, and I hope that Audible comes back and is successful, although I'd hate to see him ruin Justify's opportunity for a Triple Crown. Students of history of the Rusty Satellite Show will note that 3 years ago, I had Jack Wolf on the show, and he is known as a horse trainer and owner, and organized the Starlight Racing Group, of which Mr. Glasscock is a member. And when I talked to Jack 3 years ago, he was trying to put together ownership groups that would someday compete for a Kentucky Derby. That year, the horse was It's a Knockout, which did not win or place, but it was a good experience for all concerned. And as you'll hear from Clint, the thrill, I guess, of being a part of the Kentucky Derby as an owner and being able to walk that walk over this time in the mud to the paddock area is for some a thrill of a lifetime. And they have a big group, and this horse, I think Clint told me, is the first time in 114 years that a local group held a big interest in the horse that wins that won the Kentucky Derby. So I was anxious to talk to somebody from that group, and my good friend Caroline Knopp, who went to high school, I think, with Clinton, or her brother did, or something like that, told me about Clinton. He is in the insurance business, but and his office, there's all kinds of horse racing memorabilia on the walls. He was Clinton grew up in Louisville. Told me he played tennis in college at Furman University down there in the Carolinas, and has been very successful in the insurance business. His father is Ed Glasscock, who many of you know is a big leader in a lot of civic activities here in Louisville. So anyway, I was glad to get Clint Glasscock. Here's our interview.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And today is May. It's racing season. I'm in the office of Clinton Glasscock. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you had one of the more exciting derbies of your life this past one. Tell me what that was like.
Well, we've been fortunate. We've had three starters before last Saturday. And it's a knockout, intense holiday, and General A-Rod. So, you know, the dream growing up was always to make the walk. So, you know, we accomplished that a couple years ago with Intense Holiday. It was the first turkey horse we had. And then, you know, once you do that, you kind of get a taste of it, and you ultimately want to try to, obviously, win the race, which we were fortunate to do. First and third.
Yeah, very, very good. With Justifying Audible, and I should introduce for those of listeners out there, Clinton is part of the ownership group of the horse Justify and the horse Audible, and, you know, just had a, you know, just a very impressive derby win. I guess I'm curious, you talk about that walk in that mud.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was a mess. people don't really have an idea how bad that track was, but, you know, once you got wet, it was just like, oh, well. You know, luckily, we were prepared and had boots on and ponchos and all that, but, yeah, it was really, really, it was the worst racetrack I've ever stepped foot on, for sure. But it was still an unbelievable experience and a lot of fun, obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jack Wolf, who's been on this show, heads your group, your ownership group, and you guys invest in the racing rights to these horses. So Justify was a horse you just got on board in February.
So. Right. So we did both deals at the same time. It was either the third or fourth week in February. At the time, Justify had just broken his maiden, and Audible had actually won the Holy Bull. So Audible was the more accomplished horse at the time, but you know, Bob Baffert was awful high on Justify, and you know, he broke his maiden very impressively, and then went on to win an allowance race, and then of course won the Sandia Derby. So now he's 4-for-4 after the Kentucky Derby.
Broke that Apollo curse,
right?
We heard enough of that. You heard that the whole time, I guess.
Yeah.
But and I guess. Were you? I guess you were like me, because I had an Exacta ticket on just an Audible. If he could only gotten that head in front.
You know, it's funny. I was watching it from the grass, which very fortunate to get over there, kind of where the winner's circle is. I was not in the winner's circle. I was up about the eighth pole. And from our vantage point, I really thought he ran second. But obviously ran third, but
yeah.
Ran a big race.
Yeah, very good. Now, he's Audible's not in the Preakness, right?
No. Okay. Well, we're going to save him for the Belmont.
Okay.
If everything goes well.
Okay. Well, tell me about your plans for this weekend. Must be very exciting going up to the Preakness.
I think our group has 65 tickets, so it'll be fun. We're going to go up. My wife and her son's going to go up Friday afternoon, and people are coming in either Thursday night or Friday. But it should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to a good weekend. I understand it's going to rain again, supposedly. But You know, maybe that's good for Justin.
Now, you've been to the Preakness before?
I have.
Okay.
So we ran General A-Rod there a couple years ago, and I've been up there. We've had horses on the undercard, but General A-Rod's the only horse we've had in the Preakness.
Okay. Well, I'm curious about your group. I mean, you don't have to name them, but you can characterize what these guys are like, and what's the motivation to get into the racing business?
Well, you know, I think when Jack talks about the Starlight partnership, you know, we all understand that it's not technically an investment. We love the horse business, and you know, if you get lucky, which we did obviously last week, it makes it that much more enjoyable. But you don't get in the horse business thinking you're going to make money. I mean, let's be honest with you.
The idea is to lose money,
usually, right? I mean, the idea is to have fun and enjoy the experience, which obviously we did.
Okay. So, yeah, set that up for me. I mean, this isn't like you know, two people that own a horse. This is a group of people and a lot of people around them. What's your derby setup like? I mean, you must have
we had people everywhere. So, we sat on the third floor with some friends. We had 62 tickets between all of us, and so Churchill now has what they call the owners. I guess they're suites on the first level now.
Right.
So we had a couple of those, and then had a lot of third floor boxes. Everybody's pretty much spread out, but ended up being all worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with the rain, I guess that day is, it sort of changes things, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the forecast the whole week was supposed to be really nice. And then, of course, we woke up Saturday morning, and you could just tell from the radar it was going to be wet, and it sure as hell was wet. it was a mud pit. But, you know, luckily, Justify and Audible both took to the track and both ran big races.
Okay. All right, so you're not originally in the horse business or know a lot about it. What I guess it's been a learning experience being part of this group. Because you told me you've been together since 07 or so?
Yeah, so Jack and Lori, Jack's wife, started Starlight back in 2001, and then Dad and I got invested in 2007, so we've been part of the group for 11 years.
Okay. And what have you learned? You've learned a lot about it. Or tell me how Justify is coming out of the Derby. It's Monday of Preakness week, so you know, what's the buzz about Justify?
Well, you know, there was a rumor that he had a bruised foot, and but he came out of the race fine. He's been training forwardly. He never left after the Derby. He stayed here, trained at Churchill. He'll leave here Wednesday and go up to Baltimore. But all systems go, knock on wood.
Okay, so I can risk my money on
you. I don't know what kind of odds you'll get.
It seems like every year the Derby winner is the favorite in the Preakness, but this time that was such an impressive race. I mean, are you hearing about, you know, anything about the betting?
Well, I've heard, I don't know what's true or not, that he's 1-2 to win the Triple Crown, which I found hard to believe. But so that means on Saturday he'll be, I would imagine, 1-5, 2-5, something like that.
Yeah, really astronomical.
I don't think you're going to get $7 on him again, that's for sure.
Wow, yeah. So then, not to jump ahead, but we're jumping ahead, looking forward. Let's say he wins the Preakness. The Belmont is coming up. I guess that's a whole nother great experience.
It is. I've been up there also. Pimlico's, it hasn't been updated in a while, so Belmont's a little nicer experience from a racetrack perspective. It's obviously a gigantic, Belmont's a huge racetrack, but we're optimistic. Hopefully we get through Saturday, and then the goal is to bring Audible back in the Belmont, so hopefully both of them will be in there.
Okay. Of course, a lot of people around here were fans of Audible as well, and I guess it's hard when you got two entries in the race. You want both of them to win.
Right. I'd love to have that problem every year. You know, and watching the race live, Justify went so fast at the first half mile that I turned to people I was with. I was like, okay, where's Audible? Because I didn't think he could continue that pace. But obviously, Mike Smith slowed it down, and they went 3/4 in 1:11, obviously, he kicked on and ran a huge race. And then, you know, like we were talking about, Audible ran big and, you know, almost, it was a head bob from second. So couldn't been more pleased with the outcome.
Yeah. Well, you know, being part of this group, you know, I know it's thrilling, but for people that don't know anything about it, I mean, what are the benefits of being a part of a horse like this? What I mean, you get to do, example, some fun stuff you get to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get in this, and like I said, we're just on the racing rights, and that's really what our group likes. We're not necessarily breeders, and so just the thrill, and really, I don't care if you own 10%, 20%. The thrill of horse racing is hard to describe, and it really doesn't matter what percentage you own. It's an amazing thrill, and you know, especially when you win, no question. But it's an amazing experience for the family and all our friends. Obviously, being growing up from here, we had a ton of friends out there Saturday. So, or for the Derby, a couple Saturdays ago. So it was just the ultimate. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I guess there's a lot of insider stuff, access to the I mean, I know Jack heads the racing, but all the other people around it.
Yeah, so it was a challenge because we obviously have other partners that not only in Starlight, but we have Windstar and China Horse Club who own majority of the horse, and so they had a bunch of tickets they needed, and then so it was like herding cats to try to get all the paddock passes and what all we needed, but it all worked out fine.
Yeah, somebody has to organize all that.
Oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
That's tough. So what's your plans for Baltimore? I mean, I guess you head out of here.
I'm going up Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And then come back Sunday.
Do they have all the Friday night parties just like
here
and all?
We'll have a big group dinner Friday night, and not sure exactly what, depending on how the race goes, what we'll do Saturday, but. should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it, and it's great that, you know, local people. I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of the happiness that people have that it's a local group.
Well, it's been 104 or 114 years since a local group has won the Kentucky Derby, so that made it extra special, no question.
And broke a couple of curses on there.
Right.
So that's fun. Well, best of luck to you on Saturday in Baltimore and hopefully on to New York.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And here we are back with more Rusty Satellite Show. That was Clinton Glasscock. We'll certainly be pulling for Justify on Saturday in the Preakness Stakes in Baltimore. That's right. Okay, well, this is part of the show. I remind you of some housekeeping matters and some things that are going on. You can always catch up with Rusty Satellite Show on Facebook. Our Twitter handle is at Rusty Satellite, and there's all kinds of ways to stay in touch. You can certainly follow me and my antics on Facebook at Rick Redding if you want to do so. Be happy to be your friend on Facebook if that's something you would choose to do. In this part of the show, I get a chance to talk about some of the things that are going on in the city that interest me and that I think will interest you. So let's go right to it. Two big, I guess, political stories. I like to follow politics, and we have a primary election coming up on Tuesday in Louisville, and the race that I am have my eyes on is the one for county attorney. It's been a little bit controversial because, as you recall, several weeks ago I had Brent Ackerson, who is the challenger, a member of the Metro Council, who is running against the incumbent, Mike O'Connell, in the Democratic primary. And O'Connell certainly got himself in the news. Just today, Chris Thieneman, my good friend Chris Thieneman, was on the courthouse steps doing a press conference. And he, because he's suing O'Connell, and I'm going to read something from a Courier Journal story about this suit, because O'Connell last week went out on an occasion to make a speech and called Thieneman, quote, "It's a sexual predator. He was convicted of trying to strangle his then girlfriend, and the women in this community should be wary and be prepared to not come in contact with him ever." Okay, so Chris, who has sort of been vocal about he's driven a truck around town that says vote the sexual predator protector out of office. And he has been very vocal in his opposition because O'Connell was seen as one who was there's this whole program, this whole controversy over an Explorer youth program in which some cops were accused of sexual abuse of kids in the program. And O'Connell, in Thieneman's view, has protected those people. And Ackerson has made comments about this issue as well. But O'Connell has not made any public comments about his opponent, Ackerson. He instead attacks Chris. And he says, quote, "Chris Thieneman is a convicted domestic violence perpetrator. I am not intimidated by this classic domestic violence bullying tactic, and I wear this lawsuit as a badge of honor for the thousands of domestic violence victims that our office helps every year." Okay, so you can decide for yourself. If you want my opinion, O'Connell's kind of a jerk. Ackerson was here on the, to me, in politics, you know, the big thing about the county attorney's office, which has some 500, I think, employees, and O'Connell accepts donations from his employees for his campaign. And I've run into him a few times. He's just one of those guys I get a bad feeling about. And he's kind of a jerk. And these comments that he made about Thieneman were unprovoked. They were just something he came up with. It wasn't like Chris was there and he said, I'm going to do this. Chris has it all on tape. It's a defamation lawsuit that Chris has filed. And I'm going to be anxious to see if it goes anywhere. Chris has filed a lot of lawsuits in his life. But this one, it seems to me that it's very clear that it was a public shaming that O'Connell perpetrated with things that, are not true, are really not true about Chris. And Chris has gone a long way to defend himself in those accusations about his ex-girlfriend. That was some 5 years ago, I think. And so I hope people are paying attention to the politics of all this. And I hope that they will elect Brent Ackerson and get O'Connell out of that office. I encourage you to go back and listen to my interview with Ackerson from a few weeks ago. It's really telling about some of the antics of O'Connell and some of the good ideas that Brent Ackerson has for that office. So we'll see how that goes. That's Tuesday. Don't forget to vote if you're a registered voter, especially if you're a Democrat. It's a big deal. The other big story that came down the pipe this week, the Supreme Court of the United States cleared the way for states to regulate and permit gambling on sports. Now, this is a big deal because previously you could only bet on sports like baseball and football games at sports books in Vegas and in Atlantic City. Now that clears the way. Every state has the right to legalize this form of gambling and make some money. You know, very important here in Kentucky. Of course, we're at a race to the bottom because we have a governor. We have a governor, Matt Bevin, who believes that he was quoted last fall of saying any form of gambling coming to Kentucky would not be worth the, quote, societal costs associated with it. Now, Bevin's all tied in with evangelicals and religion and all that, and it's all a moral thing, which is hypocritical, especially given all the money that was bet on the Kentucky Derby last week. That's gambling, folks, in Kentucky. There's bingo in Kentucky. You've heard all these arguments before as efforts have been made by many groups to try to legalize gambling in Kentucky, and that would also create new tax revenue for Kentucky, a state which Bevin is responsible for trying to cut teacher pensions because the state is broke. Now, you don't hear about these problems in other states, states like Indiana, where the casinos are doing very well, thank you. Of course, Bevin's also opposed to any sort of marijuana legislation, which would certainly free up a lot of, would bring a lot of money. You could ask somebody who lives in Colorado, like myself, they've had, I think, $100 million jump in revenue in their tax base, thanks to legalized marijuana over there in Colorado. I hate to tell you folks, I love living in Louisville. I love living in Kentucky. I don't like the politics around here. I don't like the fact that a legalized gambling doesn't happen because so many of our politicians are tied into ideas about morals and religion, and they let that dictate how they vote on things. Certainly, a lot of the politicians in this state are coming around and understanding the desperation we have for money and looking at marijuana and gambling. But, you know, at the top, there's nothing happening. There was a lot of stories in local media about the potential for this new law and this new sports gambling opportunity that is here for the taking. But like a horse in the stretch of the Kentucky Derby, the other states are just running right by Kentucky, and it's not going to happen here. I'll tell you, I'm willing to be, I would love to be wrong, but I'll tell you, it's not going to happen here. If it does, it will happen after all the other states have jumped in line and are making money on that. Just like casino gambling, which in all the neighboring states around here, a lot of Kentuckians are going over there to spend their money. I don't know. I don't know what to do except try to vote these guys out. But you know, that's another problem I have with the voters of Kentucky. They think that guys like Bevin and guys like Trump and you know, all these guys are doing the right thing. They're not. They're not, especially at least on these issues. So that's my political rant for the day. Hope you agree with me. But if you don't, I'd be glad to talk to you about it. I'm really easy to reach. A couple of things going on that I'd like to tell you about. It's fun. Next week, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week next week is going to be a good one. I already did the interview with Jackie Zykin at Old Forester. I got a chance to go inside the Old Forester building there on Whiskey Row, and it is spectacular. I'll be the first to report. They were doing some tours for VIPs over there this week, and the place is fancy. They wouldn't let you take any pictures, but June 14th is the day that it's National Bourbon Day. They're going to have their grand opening over there, so that's a big deal. I also went down, you know, on my passport project, I'm doing stories about people and places in the West End, and I went to a really interesting one this week at 26th and Broadway. You can read these stories at passportwellbeing.com. I went to Angie's Home Cooking. Talked to Anthony and Angela Bishop, who are operating Angie's Home Cooking and an old Burger King, and they're having success. They're coming up on their one-year anniversary, and so those of you who say there's no restaurants, real restaurants in the West End, Angie's is trying to buck that trend. It's a family business, and I really enjoyed talking with those folks about that. That was quite an adventure for me this week. This week on Eat, Drink, Talk, the other podcast I do, we're talking about the Denim and Diamonds event on June 1st, Carolyn McLean and I, and we had a this great Forever in Blue Jeans drink that was brought in by Paul Toole, Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey, and that is a benefit for Parkinson's. I certainly urge you to look that up on the Parkinson's Support Center site and go out there and join us. It's going to be a great, great event. I went last year. It's out at Locust Grove, and I encourage you to listen to the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. There's a lot of good stuff going on there as well as we explore the drinking and dining scene in Louisville. All right, well, I want to get to my Bourbon City Guest of the Week, and that is Stacy Church, and I really was happy to get to talk to her. She's got a big job. She's got a lot of things on her plate, but it's interesting to me that they brought her in because she has all this experience in managing convention centers and event spaces. But the first 6-8 months that she's here, she's more like a construction manager because the facility that she's going to manage is under construction. I'm sure you've seen it downtown. The convention center is going to make a big difference in activities downtown. It's why all these hotels are going up, and it's why a lot of the activity that's booming in downtown is going on, is the anticipation of this convention center. I asked her about some of the shows that would be coming, what the inside of the place is like, and I think you're going to enjoy it. It's a she's a delightful person too. Glad to have her in Louisville. She did go to UK and but has not lived in Louisville until she moved for this job. So we're glad to have her. And here it is, my interview with our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, Stacy Church.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is today with Stacy Church. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
You have been here since January getting the Kentucky International Convention Center ready as the general manager.
Correct. Yes.
How's that going?
so far so good. We are coming down to the wire and just trying to put all the finishing touches on the building, but I'm excited to reintroduce it to the community, to meeting planners, so it's a very exciting project.
Well, let's come back to that in a second. I want to ask you, you know, when I read that Convention Center had hired a new general manager and they were from Texas, I said, well, what the heck is up with that? But you have roots here.
I do. I don't want to step on any toes, but, you know, I did go to the University of Kentucky, so I bleed blue. Am coming to love the city of Louisville, but it feels great to be back in this part of the country. So I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you. And you took on a pretty big job. You know, I guess for listeners out there, the idea of being general manager of a building that is not open, but is coming, what are your days like?
So, you know, I actually wondered about that before I got here. Like, what will I do with all of this free time on my hands since we're not open? But the biggest part so far has been staffing. As you can imagine, when the building closed, a lot of the staff went down to the Exposition Center. And so when I got here, we had a small but mighty team, and I've just been working diligently to onboard some director-level folks, director of ops, director of events, director of sales. So staffing has taken up a big part of my time. And then just really making those last-minute decisions in terms of what color will the chairs be, you know, what will the FF&E purchases include, and things like that. I mean, I've stayed quite busy.
Okay. So like when you're building a new home, you get to choose the carpet and all that. So you're choosing the carpet.
I'm choosing some of the things. Like, a lot of that was already done thanks to Linda Edwards. And I know most people, if you're familiar with the Convention Center, you're familiar with Linda and you've met her. But she has been overseeing the project, so I'm getting to kind of come in the 11th hour and choose like the best parts of the project. So.
Okay. Well, that's got to be fun, but I don't imagine you've really got a lot of free time. How are you, you know, going about? How do you prioritize what goes on?
Well, you know, it's kind of like whichever fire is burning the brightest and the biggest is the one that gets my attention. You know, the contractor has, and I don't want to say imposed, but put some deadlines on us. So when those come about, I know that those are things I have to address to ensure that the project stays on time and on budget. And the rest of it, you know, it's just kind of day by day, you know.
Yeah. So do you like stroll over to the construction site every once in a while? And because I mean, as you drive by, you can see what's going on, and it's massive, but it looks like there's a lot of progress.
There is. I go over about once a week, and I'm here at a good time because by going over once a week, I can see all of the changes, right? They're noticeable. I'm not there every day, so things aren't getting you know, I'm not just, oh, I didn't notice that. So going over once a week, I'm always wowed by the progress that they've made, and you know, I'm just excited to get in there and to open and get folks in.
Well, I see by the board on the wall here that August 1st is your scheduled grand opening. Is that still the scheduled grand opening?
That is the opening, but our opening festivities are tentatively scheduled for August 6th. So that'll be the day that we do some sort of official ribbon cutting and welcome. You know,
take us all on a tour.
Yes, take everyone on a tour.
Well, I am a little bit curious about the project because I've been here a long time, and I noticed, I guess the sentiment of a lot of people I know was, what's wrong with the current convention center? Why are they spending all this money tearing it down just to build up a new thing in the same spot? What's the difference? What's so great about it?
So that's a little hard for me to answer because I wasn't here to see the old center. I can tell you what I'm hearing from meeting planners and other folks in the industry. One of the biggest selling points will be that the exhibit hall is now combined. You know, before the building had some exhibit hall space on one floor and the rest was on another floor. Now we've got one large exhibit hall, 200,000 square feet of space will put us in a really good spot for trade shows, large conferences, and things like that are looking for continuous space. The lower level from what I'm being told before, was pretty dark. There wasn't a lot of natural light. If mm-hmm. when you go in now, you'll see natural light coming into the lower level. It'll make those meeting rooms really nice and usable for groups that need okay. that space down there. The ballroom has been expanded, right, from 30,000 square feet to 40,000 square feet. There's some really cool lighting in the ballroom. So I think the total package is just going to be a new, up-to-date, current, modern convention center to really pair well with the 6,000 rooms that'll be in downtown Louisville by the end of next year. New properties like the Omni, you know, renovations to the Marriott. So I think it's just the whole tourism package in Louisville okay. is has been upgraded, and the convention center is one piece of that.
Okay. Well, I guess the key to all that is that it's more appealing, I guess, to these prospects. And you told me you got an accounting background, but I'm sure that sales is a big emphasis of what you do. How are sales? I mean, what shows are now on the radar that weren't before?
Well, we've got sales is a big part of it, and by expanding the center and making these renovations, we should be able to attract 25% more business and go after those shows that need a larger footprint. We're hosting some really awesome industry events coming up here soon. We've got Trade Show News Network, so they'll be here in August. That's a really prominent trade show piece of business that will be using the center. We've also got teams coming in. So some of those events, we've got Sweet Adelines, and I know they were a group that really, really needed the space to be expanded and okay. enhanced. So that's probably the one that I can name off the top of my head that might not have come to the center before, mm-hmm. but has definitely committed to us with the renovation and the expanded space.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go back to you for a second, because we hit on the idea that you went to UK and got an accounting degree. And I guess when you started out your career, you thought you might be one of those accounting people.
Okay.
but you sort of, don't tell me the whole story, but you sort of jumped into events and venue management through a series of career stops, all right? And it must be more fun than doing the books.
So I'll tell you, every person that I've worked with, and not every, but a lot of people, they say, oh, you have an accounting degree. You don't seem like an accountant. And I say, I think that's a compliment.
They got such a bad rap, don't they?
Yeah, we really do. but I was lucky enough to find my way into an accounting role in a convention center in northern Indiana. Had a great boss who really opened my eyes to all of the possibilities that exist within this industry, and groomed me a little bit. And luckily from there, I was able to move into an assistant general manager role in Massachusetts at an arena and a convention center, and then move into the general manager yeah. role. And that's kind of, you know, that was kind of the first domino. That's
sure. And this is really, this is more than anything, I guess, a leadership role. And you know, people get the leadership roles through all kinds of different paths. Is that something you saw for yourself when you were starting out?
I mean, I'm a firstborn, so I believe a lot in birth order characteristics and things like that. So I think my just natural personality is somewhat of a, you know, an overachiever. I want to do well. I want to succeed. So I always knew that I would do something meaningful. It definitely wasn't this, but I feel pretty comfortable in a leadership okay. role. Like I love to grow a team, develop a team, you know, to succeed as a team. So it's actually interesting, because I feel like there are very few times where you find things that you feel like you're really, really good at.
Sure.
And for me, venue operations is one of those things.
Okay. Well, very good. Yeah, it's going to be a totally different job, I guess, when the place gets finished. You go from construction manager to what you like to do.
Yes, definitely. That'll be the easier part, you know, because, you know, the roles are a little more clear and everybody kind of knows their part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're a resident of Louisville for, I guess, 6 months now. Tell me, you know, just off the subject, I'm always curious about new residents in Louisville. What do you like about Louisville? What do you like to do here?
Well, I've been to a couple of really good restaurants. Like, you know, I meet my husband and the kids. We've been doing that. I'm learning about bourbon, so I was lucky enough to get to go out to the Maker's Mark factory. We did a factory tour. We've got we're actually the convention center and the expo center doing a private label bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be something that we serve at the building, so that'll be pretty exciting. But I got to go out and do the whole tour, so I'm learning about bourbon.
Did you, like, pick the staves and
yeah,
all
we
that?
Did.
Okay.
We did. So very exciting. So I learned all about bourbon. What else? Food, bourbon, the Derby. I went to the Derby this year. So
you get wet?
I did not get wet, but even though I spent time in Lexington, all I ever did, I came here for Derby parties, but not actually the Derby. Yeah. So that was a fun experience. So I think what I like most about Louisville so far is that there's a lot to do, right? Personally, if you've got a family or if you're active and you enjoy bike riding or running, there's tons of parks and trails and things like that. So it's just a lot of big city amenities, but in a town that feels somewhat small. So so that's great for me.
Well, that's great. Well, I got to wrap it up here. I got one question about the convention center that maybe we can close on. But, you know, when this thing is finished in 2 months or less, what's something that's really going to wow people? What am I going to walk in and say, wow?
I think compared to the old center, just the openness of the new building, the way we were able to really stay within our city blocks, but as you walk in now, the center will feel bigger. It's much more modern, much more up to date. So I think the overall project, even from folks that used it before and who I've toured, even though it's not finished at this point, they've toured the facility. They cannot get over how open it feels, how much bigger it feels. It doesn't seem like the same building. So.
All right. Well, Stacy, that's we're very much looking forward to it, and we'll be ready when you get ready.
Yes, I'm excited and can't wait to have everybody see the
And
building.
This is Rick Redding back with the Rusty Satellite Show. Our Twitter handle is @RustySatellite, and you can find us on Facebook at Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Stacy Church, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. She was great, and looking forward to seeing. I hope I get on that media tour of the. Of the facility. It's August 1st is the date. The sign on the wall said 78 days from the day I was there till they're officially open for business at the convention center. They've been closed a while. It seems like it seems like it's been a couple of years, but when it opens up again, it's going to be a lot of visitors coming to Louisville, Kentucky for shows of all sorts. All types of shows. So, anyway, that's great. Thanks also to Clinton Glasscock. Good luck on Saturday at the Preakness. We'll all be pulling for Justify, as all good Kentuckians do. Pull for the Derby winner in the Preakness, and hopefully we'll get another Triple Crown winner after American Pharoah is the most recent one. Well, hopefully we won't have a drought like we did before Pharoah won, at least. So that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. I'll tell you a couple of things going on this weekend that you might take note of, and remind you there's a calendar at eatdrinktalk.net of events that are going on. I work with our good friend Laura Wallace, Louisville Concierge, and we post events daily over there. But I think you might want to stop by Saturday at Waterfront Park. There's going to be the a food truck and craft beer festival, and it's going to be it's exactly what it sounds like. A lot of food truck operators going to be down there. A lot of craft beer makers are going to be down there. So it ought to be a good time. And on Sunday at the Water Tower, I've been to this event before and I really like it. It's the Buy Local Fair. It's brought to you by the Louisville Independent Business Association, the Keep Louisville Weird people. And that is a spectacular event over at the Water Tower. I hope the weather's nice this weekend so we can go down there and enjoy that. So that's what's going on. The top two events this weekend, and watch the Preakness on Saturday. It goes off at like 6:20, I believe, and we'll see how that goes. But anyway, thanks again to my sponsors, which are Heiser Health. I do need to mention quickly an update on my health. I had my 2-month checkup, and since we started, I've lost 4 inches off my belly circumference, which is pretty good. I'm down. I've sort of stalled on my weight loss because, as Peggy told me, we kind of overdid it on the testosterone, and when you get too much testosterone, it's converts into estrogen, and estrogen is heavy. And that's the way Peggy explained it to me. So we're cutting back on the testosterone, and we're going to get back to losing weight. I've gone from 221 to 207 in the last 2 months, but I think we're going to accelerate the weight loss in the next few weeks. I love the diet. I've totally changed my diet, and supervised by Peggy, I'm on a certain number of drugs that they're just having good results. I was when I went in 2 months ago, I was diabetic. If any of you know what the A1C chart is, I was at like 6.7, which is diabetic. After a month, I was down to 5.9, and now today I'm down to 5.2. We were doing cartwheels over that one in the office today. So no wonder I'm in such a good mood, happy all the time. You know, that's what it's about. So Heiser sponsored this show along with my friends at Passport Health Plan. Again, remind you to check out passportwellbeing.com for stories that I've done on Passport for the West End. And also by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, who bring you every week the Bourbon City Guest of the Week. And stay tuned. I got a good one next week in Jackie Zeichen from Old Forester. So that's what it's all about here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Hope you're enjoying your week and have a lot of fun activities planned for the weekend. I'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.